Blog Talk Radio.
It's too young to be on that bridge. It's too young.
Welcome to the Healthy Baby Boomers Network Blog Talk Radio Show. I am your host, Dr. Erica Goodstone, a spiritual relationship expert helping men and women heal their bodies, their relationships, and their lives through love, author of the book Love Me, Touch Me, Heal Me, and director of HealthyBabyBoomersNetwork.com. Aging and the associated illness and infirmity that many people experience is a topic that most of us would prefer to know nothing about and to avoid at all costs. However, as baby boomers age, they are sometimes faced with caretaking their aging and chronically ill parents, spouses, relatives, close friends, sometimes children or grandchildren. This can be a daunting task, and it is important for us to be prepared. Today I have the privilege of speaking with Kim Champion, president of Champion Home Healthcare Incorporated. So I'd like to welcome our guest, Kim. How are you?
Oh, I'm fine. Thank you so much for having me on your show.
So let's begin by my asking you to please share with our listeners a little about your background, your training, and what led you to become interested in the life of caregivers, and then to develop your caregiving business.
Okay, great. Well, actually, I've been in the home care business for about 25 years now. I was drawn to it because I enjoy helping other people. Certainly, anyone in the home care industry, if you don't like helping people, then you need to find another job. But it's what it is all about. I did start out, of course, working for other people. I worked for a division of Kelly Services way back when, which is an international corporation. They had a home care division. I learned the ropes, learned the regs, worked my way up to administrator, and after about 5 years decided that I would very much like to own my own home health care agency. So that was back in 1993 here in Boca Raton, Florida, and it's gone by quickly, but here we are about 20 years later, and I have literally helped thousands of families in that period of time with their home care needs and with helping them face the issues that come with the role of being a caregiver and taking care of a family member or loved one.
So I have a question. How are baby boomers affected by caregiving issues, and what are these issues or some of the issues?
Well, there are certainly emotional issues that baby boomers experience that can be worry or fear or stress. There are time management issues. When I think of a baby boomer, I think of someone who has family members and obligations for generations below them and younger than them and older than them. And if you think of, for instance, a working mom who also has elderly parents, then certainly you can envision someone who needs to manage her time wisely in order to provide for the care needs of everyone. Then there's the issue of skill set. If suddenly you have a healthcare crisis with your elderly parent and they need you to help take care of them, do you know how to do that? Do you have any education? Do you know what is happening with them and their illness? So that's a third component. And a fourth component could be financial issues for baby boomers, depending on if the family member in need of the care, can they pay for the care themselves, or do you as the baby boomer have to dip into your budget to help pull together the financial needs to help provide the care.
And is this care provided through insurance? Is there some special insurance that people need?
Okay. There are, yes, there can be insurance for that. These days, what people turn to most frequently are called the long-term care insurance policies. And, of course, these are sold through insurance agents and financial advisors. So, specifically, home care is covered under those policies. The good news for the long-term care policy holders is that even individuals, elderly individuals on a very modest fixed income, if they also have a long-term care policy, they can have the best of care and full care because they did budget in the premiums and they were able to buy a policy. There are certain portions of home care that are also covered under Medicare and Medicaid. Those have restrictions according because, of course, how they're managed by the government. So, then into the mix as well would be private pay funds, whether that might be co-pays or paying out of pocket for the services because you don't have any other insurance to rely upon.
Well, it's an important issue for people to think about in advance. So how does home care help with these caregiving issues?
The basic where to start with that is when you call a home care agency or a nurse registry or whoever, part of the help that's coming to you is that you now have experts who will help explain all the options and help guide you through the process. You need a professional who will help create a plan of care for your loved one, and then you need guidance for that company to implement the plan of care. And as you are receiving the care, then you need that company to help manage the situation because things could change from day to day. But most of all, it does home care does give you access to experts who can help you understand what your options are, how to get the help, and how to implement it.
It sounds really valuable. But what are the benefits of home care specifically for baby boomers, if any?
Baby boomers especially need to have access to reliable professional help. They need it key. The part of their key is to be able to delegate to appropriate and well-trained caregivers and also to have a backup plan. So all of these things are included under the home health care umbrella.
So that delegation is important because someone, a baby boomer, is often working, often both spouses are working and caring for children and caring for parents and so much going on.
Yes, and even if the daughter, for instance, say the mother's daughter, even if she wanted to go over and stay with her mom full time to provide that care herself, the baby boomers are faced with, like you said, they have job responsibilities and other family responsibilities, and therefore they're going to have to take a more systematic approach and be able to delegate components of that.
Right, very important. And then how do family members, the daughter who wants to take care of a mother or a son who wants to take care of a mother or father, but how do they make choices for elder care?
It is very important for the family members to get together and talk about the situation and discuss the options. unfortunately, with home care, many times the catalyst is some kind of a medical crisis. So a stroke that happens obviously suddenly and without warning, and you get the call and you find out that your mom or dad is in the hospital. Well, you may have talked about what to do to take care of mom 10 years down the road, but when all of a sudden she is in the hospital with a medical emergency, then it brings all of those questions right to the forefront of what choices are we going to take. You definitely need education on the options. So as we talked about, turn to the experts. In a hospital setting, there are people on staff, the social workers, for instance, and the doctor, and the nurses, who can all help answer questions and help guide you. The member of the home care team, whether it's the home health agency or the nurse registry, they can visit you and your loved one at the hospital before your loved one is discharged to discuss what are the options, what would be best to provide the care after my loved one leaves the hospital. Should they go to a nursing home? Should they go to their home and have care? What would be right and what would be good? And the next thing is, and this is important, but when family members are trying to make choices, they ultimately really should designate one primary family person who will be in charge. As you can imagine, with communicating with a team of medical experts, if one sister says one thing and one brother says another, then there's not good communication. So the family needs to talk amongst themselves. They should select one primary person. You can even go so far as to having that one person have legal credentials, such as they are the healthcare surrogate or they establish a power of attorney. Then they have the legal and financial ability to implement the care choices.
Wow, so you could see the conflicts that can come up among the family members. Have you ever run into that where they had a lot of conflict
yes.
and did not come to a solution?
Yes, there are, I guess that the best way to think of it is if on a good day your family might argue over certain issues, then when a healthcare crisis happens, you can expect that it's not going to get better. In fact, everybody really revs up and emotions do run high about trying to decide. I think we've all been through that, where one family member feels that mom should go to a nursing home, another family member thinks they would never put their dog in a nursing home, let alone their own mother. And so how do you go about reconciling those choices? In extreme incidents, then that's where guardianship comes into place, because a family, if they're unable to resolve it between themselves, then one person goes and gets an attorney and another side goes and gets an attorney, and then they all end up going to court to fight over who legally actually is going to be in charge of the money and the health care choices. And hopefully, you know, in a lot of cases that can be avoided, but trying to resolve the issues between the family members is very key, because you really can't implement any healthcare choice until you've decided on a choice, because if one person wants one thing and the other one doesn't, then you can find family members trying to sabotage the efforts. And it
sounds like a good
mess.
Case for family therapy in the process.
Yes, yes, absolutely. That would go a long way towards helping with that smoothing out communication.
Oh, wow. It just shows that a family member can be really ill and need help, and then the other people can be fighting amongst themselves.
And
it's good to talk about that in advance, hopefully.
It is. It is. And that's why those advanced directives, you know, someone sits down and they legally make choices, because the saddest situation is someone, an elderly person who hasn't made any sort of advance directives, and all of a sudden they have a crisis, they have a stroke, they're not communicative, they're in a coma, they can't tell you any longer what they want, and then you as the family member are left trying to decide, well, would mom have wanted this? You know, should we pull the plug? What should we do? They're tough choices.
So it's true. So where could a baby boomer access information about home care? Where do they begin?
Well, yes, there's a lot of good websites on the web, and certainly you can do word searches, and you can drill down to find local home care providers in the area where your loved one needs the help. But in addition to websites, if your loved one has a particular disease or disorder, there are a number of nonprofit organizations representing these particular diseases. So the Cancer Society and the Alzheimer's Association, for instance. And then don't forget, as I said, if your loved one is in any kind of an acute care setting, such as a hospital or a nursing home, please do access the discharge planners and the doctors and the nurses that are there, and do seek their professional advice.
That is very valuable information. So you touched on it before about how the home care is paid for, but is there anything else you would advise people in terms of handling the financial part of this?
I think the key is to plan ahead. So, and certainly these long-term care policies, you can buy them pretty much at any age. And of course, people don't want to really think about it until they're, you know, at least in their middle-aged years. But even with that, you know, it doesn't hurt to buy a policy in advance. There are some tax advantages as well, and you could consult with your financial advisor. They would explain the tax advantages of buying a policy. Some of these policies can be accessed through where you work. It could be an employee benefit, or if you own a business, you could purchase it at a business expense and work with your accountant on, you know, how that is adequately expensed for your taxes. But beyond that, you know, there should be any working with a financial planner who could give you some idea of what sort of assets you would want to set aside for your golden years, so to speak.
Now, that's an important point you just made about accessing these different people and situations. So another question, how is the home care customized to fit unique family situations? Maybe give some example of a unique situation,
yes,
one or two.
That absolutely has to be done. So the way the process works is that the home care agency or nurse registry representative, beyond you speaking with them on the phone to say, gee, I think I need someone to take care of my mom, can you help? Beyond that, the representative who is the home care expert, they would need to come out to the home and visit with your loved one, visit with you, spend an hour or so, and find out what are the care needs, what exactly is happening, what is important. As far as customizing, that can be a lot of things. So, for instance, a client I met yesterday, this is a person who's in a nursing home, but they want private duty because, as we all know, you get into these nursing homes and hospitals and they're really busy. The staff doesn't have time to do one-on-one care. And this particular patient needed to be hand-fed and very slowly because of his losses, so it would take an hour and a half to spend with him one-on-one to hand-feed him to make sure that he was getting good nutrition. So that is exactly what a private duty attendant can do, and that is one example of something being customized. Alzheimer's patients or anyone with memory impairments or judgment loss, they certainly have unique situations where you may need to, the caregiver may be on guard to ensure the person does not wander or doesn't turn on the stove and leave it on by accident, or you know, various kinds of safety issues. So the home care expert would know what are the safety issues, the triggers. They would go through and make notes of all of this. So that, because every patient is different.
I'm thinking of another example of someone who has physical problems, like with walking or moving in some way. They may need assistance or to be lifted. It's pretty hard for a family member to do a lot of lifting. They may not do it the right way and may injure themselves.
Right. And therefore, we don't want the family members to put themselves at risk. And let's face it, a lot of the family caregivers are the spouses. So, it's hard enough for you and I to imagine ourselves being out there and trying to lift another person, let alone when we get to be 80. Because then not only then you have two people that fall. You're the one trying
right,
to lift
then the
them
caretaker
and the one,
can't do anything to help the other one. That or they both end up in separate homes and separate hospitals. That can be horrible.
Yes, and this is that important piece of delegating the care to the appropriate, well-trained individual. And even within within our home care agency, we know which ones of our nurses' aides are really strong and have the excellent transfer skills. Some do and some don't. So when you are working, for instance, with a patient who's in a wheelchair and does have to be lifted from bed to wheelchair and bodily moved, then absolutely it has to be the right caregiver with the right skills, because safety is the most important factor.
Well, you don't want to have a caretaker that you've hired that gets injured. That defeats the purpose.
Well, of course
too.
Not. Yeah, of course not. And by the way, of course, any home care company that you might want to use, ask those questions. Do you have workers' comp on the individuals you're sending to my home? Do you have liability insurance to cover the what ifs of me having someone come in my home? Because if your aide has a slip and fall in my house, I don't want to be at risk. That's right. So as consumers, you do ask those questions because you've got a choice. And the companies are free to have insurance or not have insurance in cases. So you do need to be aware. And you do want to ask, because for the same price, you might as well get all the extra insurance coverage so that you don't have to worry about that part either.
Oh, that was an important one. That just struck me, because people could be completely unaware and end up with a huge responsibility.
The concept of hiring a home care company is to protect your loved one. And so, versus you going and hiring a friend of a friend, or you get your cleaning lady to help out or what have you. You want to deal with a reputable, well-insured company so that you are protected as they are delivering the services.
And so is there anything else that you'd like to add about that, questions to ask or how the home care is accessed or initiated or delivered?
Well, I would like to say this. No two home care companies are alike. And I realize we're in an age with computers where everything looks like a commodity, but they're each different, and it has everything to do with the fact that we are dealing with individuals. Our clients are unique, and every nurse or nurse's aide that works for us, they are also unique. And the management and ownership of each home care company is different. They have different ways of dealing with people. And so, therefore, as you are interviewing companies, even from looking at their websites or talking with them on the phone or having them come out to your home to give an in-home assessment, that's what you want to evaluate. Is this a good fit for me? Am I comfortable? Do I like these people? Do I trust them? And will they take good care of my loved one?
So, Kim Champion, thank you so much for sharing your experience and knowledge and important information that many of us may not realize is necessary for anyone who has become a caretaker or may become a caretaker or needs to hire a caretaker or even someone who realizes that they need to be taken care of themselves at home. So how can our listeners contact you and find out more about your company and what you provide?
Well, I think the phone number is the easiest way, and our phone number is 561-347-0440. And if someone would like to see our website, it is championhome.com. Or they could send me an email at kim@championhome.com.
Well, thank you so much. Our next show will feature an interview with one of the grand dames of somatic bodywork or body-mind approaches to healing, my mentor and teacher of the method that has become the framework for my counseling approach, Alana Rubenfeld, who created the wonderful Rubenfeld Synergy Method, which involves talk and touch. I am your host, Dr. Erica Goodstone, saying goodbye for now. Please visit my website, healthybabyboomersnetwork.com, to get your free report, How to Live to 100 and Beyond. Schedule a counseling or coaching appointment at drericawellness.com.